Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
2-0 Cubs in the bottom of the fourth. And it's Sosa's home run, a towering line drive in the first inning. A controversial shot. Third base umpire immediately pointed fair. And that's the
George,
only run
which
of the game.
Was it? Wait a minute. Hold on.
Was it towering or was it a line drive?
Get some coffee and a towering line drive.
You can't have it both ways.
Oh, yes, you can.
No, you can't. You can't have it both ways.
Gentlemen, it was a towering line drive.
George, you want Julie to finish it. It's either a line drive or it's a towering home.
Gentlemen, I'll repeat myself. It was a towering line drive.
Don't make me come out there.
Come on out here.
Bank your little hiney.
I didn't deserve that.
I'll give it by Ryan.
You ask North and Jiggets, and even Arnie Harris, who was on, it was a towering line drive.
Team Offman. I have forever been Team Offman on that discussion. It's 670 the score. That is George Offman on the score back then with McNeil and Boers arguing about that home run. Ron Gleason, the original program director from the score, is sitting here next to me, and George Offman joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. I don't know if I've ever told you, George. I've never had a chance to talk about it with you on the air. I understood exactly what the hell you meant. I did.
That was May of 1994, of all things, and I had the running argument with Ken Hawk Harrelson, who didn't agree. And I kept using several different examples. One of them was Reggie Jackson's home run in the All-Star game in 1971, which hit the light standard. And a golfer, you know, who's taking a drive off the tee. And I said, you know what? Hawk, you're a golfer. That's a towering line drive. Well, ever since, I mean, I still get people on Facebook and Twitter using the term towering line drive. It's lasted 26 years.
Well, maybe it's because I was sitting at Yankee Stadium one time and I saw Tony Armas hit a home run off Ron Guidry that hit it hit the top of the left field foul pole, and it looked like it was going up as it was doing that. It was still on the rise. That's a towering line drive.
Yes, it is. Good. I've got another convert.
I'm your boy.
The most important thing, though, is that you got pummeled on the air, and we like that, and we encourage that. As much
Great.
As possible.
Now I know where it came from.
Did you know that was going to be part of your gig when you and Ron Gleason talked about your gig? And when was that, by the way, that you guys talked
the
about?
The answer is no. I was one of the last hires, actually. It was on my birthday, so that was December 28th. You know, and of course, I'm 39 now for the 27th time.
Congratulations.
And I had just turned down a job as a talk show host in Toronto, of all places, waiting for a phone call that I finally got. And no, I had no idea what we were doing. You know, I mean, there were established journalists like Tom Scheer and Terry Boers, Dan McNeil, and, you know, and Dan Jigginson was doing television. And suddenly, here's Mike North, and that completely changed the complexion of everything. And so, you know, I was a moving target for God knows how many years, but I was able to endure. It was an extraordinary experience, to say the least.
And that was something that we thought was important, that anybody who was doing updates and really doing sports casts at the station had to have the ability at the time to dialogue with the different anchors and different hosts who were on the station. That was really important because we felt that was part of the fabric. It was the communication. It's like the transition period, right, between shows where there's all that extra communication. You got four guys talking at one time or whatever. We just thought that dialogue was critical, and whether it was going to be positive or negative or whatever the conversation was, we wanted everything to flow together.
What ended up, the effect that it ended up having, George, to the listener and then the intern and the producer for me later on, was the sound of controlled chaos. Which is part of the big brand of what the station is and still and has been. It's just like anything could happen at any time, but there is a point. Your updates usually ended eventually. At some point, they would end.
Oh my gosh! First of all, the question is when they would begin. You know, they would be running these interviews, and they would come to me. you know, let's say it was the top of the hour. Well, it'd be 15 after. We're finally doing an update, and then we're going to do one in another 7 or 8 minutes. So there was no, you know, it was no time frame at that stage. It was like, we'll come to you whenever. And then there would be the laughter, and then there would be the banter, and then there'd be whatever. And it was like, geez, I got to get back and write real quickly because here we go again.
And George,
Ron, you got to refresh me because I don't think we started the updates right away.
Correct.
When we started, but when we did it, didn't we go like Wednesday to Sunday, and we didn't do Monday and Tuesday?
Well, you know what? We didn't do them at the beginning because we felt it was all about sports talk, and it was less
right.
about the updates and the facts, and more about, you know, conversation, right, and opinions. But we did them on the weekends. We thought that was important, especially when all the games were going during the NCAA tournament. You know, there was no social media, there was no internet, none of that. So we gave updates even more frequently because we did 3 times an hour on the weekends.
That's the thing. 20, 40, and 60, right?
Yeah, and then we would do 4 times during the NCAA tournament.
Oh, the 4 times during the NCAA tournament was unbelievable because, you know, North would be on location somewhere in Vegas. And he'd be giving the score of every game while he was watching it, you know, at some Vegas book. And then they're coming to me, and I said, wait a second, you already gave the scores.
You know, George never once complained to me about anything except on one, two, or three, or four times a day. A day. They're not coming to me on time. You got to do something. George, sit there and deal with it.
And then that's exactly what we had to do. Let me tell you something. When Ron said that he had to deal with management people calling and what have you. Well, I was on the road right away. When we started in 92, I went to spring training in Sarasota. I went to spring training in Mesa for the Cubs. And, you know, I carried with me this brick phone. Think of the cell phone today and back then 28 years ago when we had this gigantic phone that weighed a ton. You couldn't put it in your pocket unless you happened to be a horse. And I had to pass this along as a booker to try to get these guys on the air. Well, guys like Andre Dawson and Ryan Sandberg were turning me down. It's not like they were listening to the station. They were told what was being said about them, and they said, no, we're not going to come on. I remember another thing when we were at a hotel. The Major League Baseball owners were meeting here, and I approached Steve Stone. Steve, you know, we'd like to get you on with North and Jiggets. And he turned to me. I'll never forget this. And he said, I wouldn't go on with those guys for all the money in China. Well, it turns out we paid him all the money in Algonquin. He became one of our analysts.
See, yeah, you had to be out there dealing with the pushback from teams other media guys. And what it sounded like on the air was that you were the adult. It really did. That, like, you were the veteran and you were the adult trying to seriously get through your updates and also, like, representing the score out there, and these punk kids were making your life difficult. Did it feel that way?
It was kind of like that, yeah. But, you know, everybody was going by the seat of their pants until we had established ourselves. And I thought that one of the really crucial moments of that was during the O.J. Simpson trial, when Terry Boris took on all comers, and it was appointment radio. You had to be listening. It was absolutely spectacular. And when North would have some of his interviews, especially with Al Lopez, I think, Ron, that might have been in the first year. Al Lopez was the manager of the 1959 White Sox that went to the World Series. Well, Mike hated him because he didn't, I guess he was able to cast a vote for Hall of Fame, and he wouldn't do it for Nellie Fox. And he took him apart on the air. I couldn't believe this. I couldn't believe that somebody could do that to somebody else. Well, that was North, and that's what we were dealing with in the early going. It was like, just get out there, do the best you can, try to defend the station as best you can.
But the listeners and the fans loved it. You know, we had so much advanced publicity because the station didn't go on the air until months after it was originally anticipated it would go live. And so the newspapers were writing all the time. We got so much, and there's people were built up. So on that first day, at 7:15 in the morning on January 2nd of that year, 1992, as soon as we went on the air and the phone number was given on the air, all the phone lines lit up. It was as if people have been waiting forever for this opportunity.
Yep. And I think for the listeners, as they started to grow real quickly, they either loved certain parts of it or they hated it, but eventually they were listening to it.
Yeah.
You know, it was sad that we would go on at that hour and then we'd be off the air by 4:30 in the afternoon of the winter time. It was awful. And then we would go later and later, and we were playing in that little tiny studio on Belmont. I had an office, but eventually they built a little tiny studio. It was in a closet, literally in a closet, uh-huh. where I had all the equipment. And so I told people. After a while, I finally came out of the closet.
Yes, you did. I used to edit in there all the time.
My office was a closet. You know what? I would try to have meetings with a show. Maybe just the two hosts, and you'd have Dan Barry Lart, right? Dan Jiggett's big man, and Mike North. And literally, we had to leave the door open so one of them could sit in the doorway while we had our meeting.
Yeah, but cramped quarters created some chemistry, didn't it? You had no choice but to interact with each other.
Everybody interacted, whether it was positive or negative.
Correct.
That's correct.
George Hoffman, go ahead.
I would come in there sometimes to, you know, that we have breaking news. We didn't even have the internet then. So it was a teletype, UPI or AP, and I come in with breaking news. And I remember the one that obviously was, we were anticipating it, but it was so difficult to do, and that was the death of Walter Payton. And I walked in there, I took a long breath, said my piece, and we were done. But that studio was so tiny. I mean, I'd walk in there, Jiggs was taking up three quarters of it. Anyhow, it was a lot of fun to do all the work that we did at that radio station, and finally move into a much bigger studio, what was it, the NBC Tower, years later.
Hey, George, the abuse that you took from everyone... Well-deserved,
by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And still, I don't think there was enough, but it probably toughened you up. I used to have a collection, as a producer, I had a collection of George Malaprops that was into the late teens. There was at least 15 to 17 different ones. My favorite one, we don't have, I've been looking for it forever. I remember you said, the White Sox are in Texas tonight. Wilson Alvarez is on the pill.
On the pill,
yes.
Yeah.
You remember that? And I was like, wow.
Yeah, I do.
That's a story. That's a story. He takes the pill or he's on the hill. Nope, then, he was on the pill.
Then there was a pregnant pause.
Yes, there was. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, but I love that stuff. This is one of the ones that has survived is you struggling a little bit with a death.
Skip Carey, whose pappy was the legendary Harry and whose son is Skip, died in his sleep last night. Make that his son Chip.
All right, so I don't know. I still don't know which Carey had died there. Do you know which one that was?
Gosh.
Oh, that's all right.
George,
it was
speechless.
One, it was
there you
one
go.
Of the carries.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But you handled that abuse pretty well. Did you ever want to punch somebody?
No. Good. No. Good. No, not at all. Actually, it was, you know, I had my own little niche. I was covering a lot of events, covering a lot of games, traveling a lot, you know, establishing myself there. And yeah, when I would go out in the field, people would say, you know, gosh, I hate those guys. You're the only pro there. And I'm thinking, no. Just listen to the station. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, as an emissary, you would take a lot of hits from a lot of people. Like I said before, Ron would have to field the calls. I was out in the field getting it from all these people. But fortunately, you know, there were some pretty good teams. The Bulls won championships, so we weren't taking any abuse from them. I don't know. Did we ever get Michael Jordan on the air, Ron? I don't know if we ever came and got him on the air.
I think he did. He did it once or twice, I think, with Jiggetts and North, and that was it. He didn't like to do it. It just wasn't his thing.
Mm-hmm.
All I can tell you is, Matt, I have now known Gleason for 42 years, from Sports Phone to MAQ All News to The Score, and now at BBM. It's been a long, long, long relationship, and for me, a very good one.
George, I hired you twice, and I screwed up a couple of times. What can I say? Great to have you on the air on WBBM on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Well done.
See what he does, Matt?
Yeah. And also, George, just in case you forgot, your listeners change every 15 minutes.
Right. It was 20 is
what
he used
20?
To say. Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
See, I didn't even, didn't pay attention.
It didn't even register.
Well, happy birthday to The Score. It's still going very strong. It's a wonderful radio station. I listen as often as possible, and I hope it just keeps going for another 28 years.
Thank you, George. Appreciate you.
Only 28?
That is George Hoffman from WBBM and all the other the WBBM promo that just flowed so effortlessly. That was delightful.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.